Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. A demand on those things for your life. You've come here. You've got time invested. You've got energy invested. Why not make something of it? Why not have a purpose with your life? Man, praise God. This is so important, especially in our part of the world. Because in our part of the world, everybody goes to church. Everybody's a member somewhere, whether they go or not. God is not checking membership scrolls, and He's looking at a membership scroll, and He's looking at the Book of Life, and He's going, do they match? The Book of Life has nothing to do with the membership scrolls at the churches. It is, what did you do with Jesus Christ? Well, I know about Him. So do the demons. So do the Hindus. So do the Muslims. Why do you think they're killing Christians? You think they're just evil because they want to be evil? Come on now, we're not that naive. They are under inspiration. They are anointed by the enemy to take out Christians. Because the enemy is scared of what you carry. It is time for us to understand Jesus was talking about these truths 2,000 years ago. It says in, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians, I'd have to look it up, but it says that there is coming a time in the ends that the folks in the churches will just have itchy ears wanting somebody to come in and just give them some kind of fluffy word. Beloved, I'm telling you, we live in that time. We live in that time. If the preacher's not putting on a good enough show, folks go to the place where the show is. They go where the light show is. They go where the fog is. They go where the cool music is. And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. But if that's the only reason that you're going to the cool church that you're going to, you have missed it. Itchy ears. And the Bible says that they're silly women led away by doctrines of devils. We are not trying to give a message that just makes everybody go, oh, that was the sweetest word ever. This is the message of God Almighty. And Jesus said that not everybody's going to receive it. And so this third ground, He's talking about people that are not hard packed. Or they were once there and something changed it. And then we're talking about people that went into stony ground where they just had a little bit of earth. And I'm telling you, probably 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000 seeds fell into that ground and actually found enough dirt to sooner or later bring forth enough fruit to reproduce and bring forth the harvest. And then it would eventually get to the thorny ground. We're talking about a progression of no return, barely any return whatsoever. And I would like to point out that these three kinds of grounds, they all have the same dirt capacity. The same black earth that is in the hard-packed ground is the same black earth that's in the stony ground is the same black earth that's in the thorny ground. There's just less of it, and there's more things done to it. The hard-packed ground, that's the person that's been beat down their whole life. Their whole life they've been told that they're never going to amount to anything. Everybody in their life told them they're a loser. Their habits have caught up with them. There's just nothing left for them to have. They're completely packed down. Their heart is almost useless, but it's still the same black earth. It's still there. and with some TLC and with some purposefulness and with a good shepherd and with a willingness, that ground can eventually be fallowed up and watered and have nutrients in it, and it can bring forth. And the same thing with stony ground. Barely any opportunity for the Word of God to get in there and produce. But if you are willing to take the time and to go in there and to get rid of the stones and get rid of the rocks, the stones and the rocks are all the things that people have thrown at you. You've been stoned. It's all of our self-religiousness creating hard places in our life. And if you're willing to go in there and do the work to get those things uprooted, which I'm telling you a lot of people aren't, because this is the way my grandma believed, and so I'm going to believe this way. And then eventually you get to the stony ground. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. This, I believe, is the third kind of ground. Verses 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Okay, so this is what thorny ground is. Those are they that hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In Luke 8:14, at the end of that verse, it says, and it brings no fruit to perfection. It becomes unfruitful, or it brings no fruit to perfection. The fruit doesn't actually turn into what it was created to turn into. This is so important. This, I believe, in my personal opinion, dealing with our style church, a full gospel, spirit-filled, believe in the whole word, the anointing of God. You've seen the miraculous. Most people in here have seen the miraculous or experienced the miraculous, have intense times of worship and praise, that all of you have experienced the legitimate presence of God. And this is still, I believe, as apparent in our environment as it is in any other environment. I'm going to go back up to Mark 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world, these are the thorns, okay? And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word. Now, I'd like to point out that it says some fell among thorns in verse 7. And some fell among thorns. Here's what I'm telling you. That ground had thorns in it already. That ground had thorns in it already. Nobody in this room, I believe, is naive enough to believe that when somebody comes and hears the Word of God, that they're already completely perfect in every way in their lives. None of these things are affecting them whatsoever. And they come and hear the Word, and it just takes off in their lives. There's always a little something. Somebody's got something. These thorns were there. This seed fell among thorns that were already present. What I'm telling you is that if one of the ways that you can come expecting to receive things from God is go ahead and start dealing with that stuff before you get here. A lot of people come here expecting God to deal with that stuff, and that's cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with coming and expecting God to deal with stuff that's going on. But if this is the only place and the only time that you're expecting God to deal with your heart, you're going to be so thick with thorns that even when you do get some, there's not going to be much production. There's not going to be much fruit in your life because it takes more than an hour a week or 2 hours a week or whatever you are. It takes more than that because the thorns are growing 24/7. The world is causing problems in your life, sticky places in your life, 24/7. You just can't come in here expecting in an hour or 2 hours a week is going to just completely uproot all the thorns in your life and give you this miraculous experience of Christianity and go on with no more problems. These thorns were already there. So I want to break down what these things are that chokes the incorruptible word of God that God said will not return to him void. The incorruptible word of God. In verse 19, and the cares of this world. That word cares, I looked it up, it's anxiety and worry. That is a thorn that will choke the word of God in your life. Anxiety and worry. Well, everybody worries. Really? I wonder if Jesus did. Could you see David standing in front of the Philistine going, man, I wonder if this is going to work. I hope these stones are big enough. Do I know how to throw a sling even? The cares and the anxiety. And here's one of the things that the Lord was illustrating to my heart when I was thinking about this. You know, there's a lot of things that you got going on in your life that you think about, and they're not even bad things. What am I going to do about grocery money? You know, it is not a sin for you to think about how you're going to buy groceries. You know what makes that a sin? When that becomes a worry and an anxiety, and you think that you have to produce to buy groceries. You are incapable of producing enough in your life to keep you sustained for eternity. You can't do it. It doesn't exist. That's what makes a care and a worry. I have to. I need to. I will. This is not how we were created. We were created to live in the garden that God created. We were created to be the children of Israel that walk into the promised land with houses already built, with already furnished, already got seeds in the ground, the crops are producing, you walk in and rest in what God has already done. If you ever find yourself worrying and becoming anxious about things that you need in life, then you have entered into a place that is capable of choking the word of God. God's made a promise. I will supply for you. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is a promise. Philippians 4:19. Also, in Luke chapter 13, I believe, he says that, don't you think that your father knows the needs that you have? How could any son come to his father and ask him for a loaf of bread and he'd give him a stone? Ask for an egg and he'd give him a serpent. God knows what you need, and what you need is the Holy Spirit. So if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he will give you that. Matthew chapter 6 says your father knows that you have need of all these things. Talking about clothing, talking about houses, talking about money to produce for your family. Your father knows that you have those needs. And so what Jesus said is, ask your father. He didn't say, work overtime. Get a second job. I've had this happen to me, even in ministry, to where I was not sustaining. I was not financially sustaining myself and my family. And I've even had the devil come to me and quote scripture. You're worse than an infidel. You don't supply for your own family. You know the devil knows the scriptures? He quoted them to Jesus. The devil can come and produce anxiety in your life with the scriptures. That's important. If you really believe that God said that I will take care of you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know that verse? Man, I could unplug right here. In Hebrews chapter 13, to where it says, I think it's 13:8. God said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you go and look at the context of that scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, it's literally talking about provision. It's literally talking about financial and monetary provision for you and your life and your family. It's literally in context, that verse that we quote, God will never leave you nor forsake you. That verse is literally talking about God's provision. If you're going to quote that verse, that is actually you saying that God's provision is as sure in my life as His promise is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, if you have the provider, if you have Al Shaddai on the inside of you, what do you have need of? That's a powerful truth. We just really don't believe that God is in there and willing to produce in those times. That's a lack of faith. You know why you lack faith? Because you have applied your faith towards anxiety and worry about your problems. Your mind focusing on things is where you develop faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, doubt comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the devil. Amen. That's really important. I can, based upon what you are hearing, I can tell you within a certain degree of certainty how much faith or how much doubt you have operating in whatever situation that you are believing God to help you with. Based upon what you're hearing. Based upon music and media sources and friends and the people that you hang out with and the people that you pal with, and based upon the voices that are in your life, I can tell you with almost to a certain degree of certainty how much faith you do or do not have in God's promises coming to pass in your life. The world knows how to make you worry. Where do you think insurance came from? $1 trillion industry. Well, what happens if somebody hits you? You know, I mean, we just think like everything. You know, they didn't have insurance more than a couple hundred years ago. You know, almost 6,000 years of human history, and people didn't have, you know, people built houses for 6,000 years. Did anybody know that? They actually had houses before they had insurance. It actually was possible to have a house and not have insurance. And people still survived, took care of family. The human race still perpetuated itself. We all still existed. Amen? You know, they were pumping out Model Ts before Allstate and Geico had Geicos, or Geico had Geckos. Model Ts filling the room. Didn't have insurance for one of them. You know what they did? They drive smart. You know what insurance makes you do? Well, I got insurance. Anybody ever heard that one? The cares of this world and anxiety chokes the promises. You know, remember the word is God's promises spoken to you, either through the Logos or through the Rhema. Go get message number one in the series. The Logos and the Rhema is God's word coming into your life. And one of the things that choke God's word in your life is the cares and the anxiety of this world. And for the most part, if you would think about it, most of those cares and anxiety that you feel are temporary situations. And yet they still have the ability to choke the eternal Word of God. That is disproportionate. Very disproportionate. You know, I read this stat the other day and I literally didn't believe it. Initially, and obviously I knew the source that it came from, and I had to believe it because it was a psychological journal. But they said that every single human being is born with two fears: the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. Every single human being is born with those two fears. And the average person walking through the earth today has over 40,000 fears. Born with two, they have over 40,000 in the average person, and the reason they say 40,000, because those are the ones that they've named, you know, like arachnophobia and narco, whatever they are. They've named them all, and there's 40,000 names of fears that people have, and every single human being was born with two, naturally born with two. You know what that means? Every single person has been taught 39,998 or more fears. You've been trained and taught. Why do you think I'd believe it's such a great calling to be a teacher? I have got job security. I got 39,000 plus fears to work out of the average person's life. And if you stay with me long enough, I'll work on the fear of falling into the fear of loud noises. Amen. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know how you can be fearful about losing finances in your life or in your situation? It's because you don't really believe that God loves you the way that He actually loves you. Because if you believe that God loves you the way that He actually loves you, then you wouldn't have to worry about God providing for you, because He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Gunner probably has never, and he can speak for himself, Gunner has probably never woken up one day and he's probably ever worried about if he's going to eat that night. Have you? Never worried. Not one day. Gunner is fear-free on whether he's going to be able to eat every day, as long as he lives with us. Move out, you're on your own, son. He's fear-free. You know, why does he have faith that his mommy and his daddy are going to feed him on a daily basis? Because he's lived with us. He's experienced that. We've made promises to him. And we literally have. We've made promises to our children. We've covenanted with our children. We've made promises that he has faith that his daddy is going to do what he says he's going to do. And so he has probably never woke up or had any time in his life where he's ever had anxiety or worry about provision being there for him. And yet this probably plagues most people in this room, that you may or may not believe that God may or may not provide for you. He might do it for that guy and that gal over there, and she deserves it. But me? I mean, what kind of a family would I raise if Gunner has a bad day and he does a horrible thing, and so I say, well, because you did this thing that we told you not to do, you don't get to eat for 3 days. What kind of a father? Most of you, if you found out about that, you'd call CPS, wouldn't you? Maybe not on me, maybe not right away. You'd probably come to me, praise God, and say, I don't think that's right, Pastor. But would God do that? You know, you did that one sin, you had those thoughts, you did that thing. Maybe God won't provide for you now. And that's important. Praise God. And the cares, which is anxiety or worry of this world, you know, it's not even about eternity. Who in here is worried about whether there's actually going to be a heaven when you get there? Nobody? Good room. Good room. You know why you're not worried about eternal things? Because you believe that the eternal truths are eternal. You just don't have that much faith about the temporal truths. But the same God that made the eternal promises made the temporal promises. You follow me? Man, I hope this is building faith in you. That's your God. Your God said that you are going to, one day, you and Him are going to be face to face, living together. You're going to shed this thing that's fallen apart, and you're going to get one that doesn't fall apart. And you're going to be face to face with your Savior. And probably everybody in here at one point or another in your life, you've probably had a daydream or a meditation or a time where you've sat back with your eyes closed and you thought about heaven and what Jesus looks like, what heaven's going to be like. I can only imagine what that day will be like when I walk by His side. We think about it. I mean, especially even for me, when it's like really horrible and situations are mounting, I'm like, you know, Jesus, one day, me and you, prairie, lots of flowers, chilling, perfect temperature, no bugs, praise God. Bugs are a curse, in case you didn't know. Praise Jesus. We should believe that the eternal truths are sure. But we should also believe that the temporal truths for your day-to-day existence are also true. They choke the Word of God. You have an anxiety and worry about all those things that you're worrying about is choking the Word of God. And the deceitfulness of riches is the next thing. You know, that word deceitfulness means delusion. I thought that was awesome. The delusion of riches. You know why it's a delusion of riches? Think about this. Who defines what real prosperity is? In our society, it's Hollywood, right? But you got to understand, our society is not the truth. The truth is God. God actually is the only person that has the right to define what true prosperity is. And he says that prosperity is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, self-control, patience. The fruit of the Spirit is what Jesus wanted to manifest in people's lives for them to have true prosperity. People that operated in prosperity in the Bible, they got there from their hearts being locked into the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. True prosperity based upon Jesus Christ and the way that He interprets prosperity is Jesus Christ. That's an important truth. True prosperity in the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ, possessing the prosperous one. That's true prosperity. So that means that the riches of this world, they are absolutely a delusion. Because you can get and get and get and get and get, and you have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You cannot take it with you. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You can like it or you can lump it. You can have a gold-plated casket or you can be incinerated and thrown in the water. Either way, you're leaving here with the only thing that you came here with, which was your eternal spirit. God's putting the rest of it together. Riches, chasing after riches, chasing after wealth. The love of money is the root of all evil. Because it's a delusion. God is real, God is true, and riches are a delusion. So which one do you want to chase? Do you want to chase the shadow, or do you want to chase God's face? You can either seek the wealth of this world, or you can seek Jesus Christ, who is wealth eternal. The wealth of this world is very, very delusional. And the lusts of other things. Lust means passionate desire of other things. And the word other things means the remainder. You know what the remainder means? It means things that you don't have. And this is really, man, I got a clear picture of this when I was studying it, right in my heart. People are passionate. Passionate about trying to get the things they don't have. But the things they do have, well, they got them now, right? I can't tell you how many times I've been at somebody's house and they were helping them clean up stuff or helping them move stuff or something, and they find something that's worth $200, $300, $400, $500, and they're like, oh, I forgot about this. You forgot about something that was worth $500 because it was in a box and you hadn't seen it for 2 years? But you are passionate, fervent about getting the $100 thing? I mean, you really got to have it? And here you have a $500 thing sitting in a box you didn't even know you had it? Oh, praise Jesus. The world has convinced us that the only thing that you really need to be happy is what you don't have. Because the things that you don't have are not enough. They are totally not good enough. What you actually have is definitely not good enough. You need the next model. You gotta have it. You know, everybody else has these kind of jeans. You gotta have these kind of jeans. This is the cool color now. That's the color that you gotta have. You know, does your car have auto start? Well, if it doesn't, make sure that you ask everybody around you if they're willing to give you a Christmas present for the auto start. And go down and have it installed on your car because it's so important. Because, you know, you don't want to be cold in the winter and go start your car. That would be way below your standards of living. That's why you have children. Never mind. Amen. We are passionate about trying to obtain the things that we don't have. How about this? You possess God. On the inside of every one of you that have given your life and your heart to Jesus Christ, right now, God Himself is resident on the inside, living and abiding on the inside of you. Can that satisfy you? That is a big question. Can that satisfy you? And that's important. If you cannot be satisfied with God Almighty, you cannot be satisfied. Remember the first sin? Remember the sin that damned us all? It was the enemy coming to Eve who was living in perfection. There was no, and is no more beautiful place that has ever existed in human history with more bounty, with more abundance, with more provision than that place. There was nobody that they had to be worried about defending themselves of. They didn't have to think about committing adultery. They didn't have to worry about going and witnessing to their neighbors. They didn't have to work a job. They didn't have to worry about paying insurance. They didn't have a mortgage. All they had to do was spend time with each other and spend time with God and eat the lush that they lived in. And the enemy came to Eve and said, "Don't you want some more? Wouldn't you like to be more like God?" More? Well, more sounds good. If he can convince Eve, you don't think that he can convince us? Dear Lord, you got commercials that convince you every day long. Praise God. And in fact, those thorns came from the garden. That first curse, those thorns came from that curse. And I would love to have you turn over there, but God said, "Cursed is the ground because of what you've done." God didn't curse the ground. The ground was cursed because of what they've done. Feed you, Greg. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and has eaten," and his wife did the wrong thing, all you guys in here that want to stand on Scripture for not listening to your wife. "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake." Adam and his failure to understand that he was living in perfection is what caused the ground to be cursed. And then what happened to the ground in the next verse, that's where the thorns come from. Well, thank you very much, Adam. Adam started this whole thing where thorns choking the promises of God came from him not believing that he was fully provided for through the kingdom of God. It's where these thorns came from. Praise God. I don't want to belabor that. Choke the word and it becomes the passionate desire of things that you don't have enters in and it chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. And becomes, actually talks about transitioning from one realm to the other. When you are thinking on, meditating on, and allowing God's word to be your truth, you are actually in the kingdom of God. And when these other things come into your life, it transitions you from the kingdom of God out and puts you into the natural realm. Anybody ever been there? Like, I was in the spirit. You know, John said it. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And then behold, the Son of Man came down. You know, there are times when you know that you know that you know that you are in and you're there and you're thinking on it and it's becoming a part of you and it's working its fibers through every core of you. And then you're like, "Oh, I need a bigger TV." Like, you know, done. Oh, yeah, and then I should get cable. And, you know, there's probably a good game on right now. And then you turn on the game. Amen. Nobody in here has ever done that. I'm talking to somebody else in some other church. But those things actually happen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You have your choice. Love the world or love your Father. You can't love both. You know, your love doesn't know how to go two directions. That's why the only real way to love your spouse or to love your family is with the love of God. It's only one kind of love. It can only go one way at one time. God's flowing His love through you to other people. You actually are not the one that's loving them. It's actually God loving them through you. And you just get to experience it. I could preach on that for days, but that's a really important truth. I'm just going to have to drop that one and go. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's not of your daddy. That's of this world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Doing the will of God comes from loving your Father. You love your Father, you do His will. His will becomes your will. These are the only things that can take you off track, beloved. There's only three. And I can go back and show you in the garden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I can show you when the devil tempted Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are the three temptations of Christ. It was the three temptations of Adam and Eve. It's the three temptations that all of us face. If you can get away from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you are going to be temptation free. Praise Jesus. It's a good place to be. So the enemy doesn't want you to be here hearing these things, because we are talking contrary to that. And so what he will do is he will try to come into your life and offend you away from the church. Or he'll send somebody in the church to offend you. There'll be a goat, and they'll come and butt you. Amen. The enemy can put people in church too. Praise God. The devil was at the Last Supper. I got a lot more on this, but we got to be done. So this is where I believe that the majority of folks in the church are. I believe they really want to be passionate about the things of God. They're really here on purpose. They really want these things to manifest in their life. They really want the fruit of the Spirit to be bountiful and be abundant in their life and in their surroundings and in their family and in their workplace and in their everything. I really believe that the sincerity of the heart of the folks that gather here is deep and true. But I also believe that the enemy knows these tactics exist, and he uses them at will in most people's lives. Worry and anxiety, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, the pride of life, these things enter in and choke out the effectiveness of the kingdom of God in your life. And then your passion goes away, and you easily remove yourself from that convicting voice of the Holy Spirit as He's trying to bring you closer to the heart of the Father. And eventually you just let the world's voice be the only voice. And everybody in here knows somebody that I'm talking about. Every single person in here, you know somebody that was once passionate about the things of God, and they've left them. And they're no longer around. And that's sad. It's very sad. And I tell you that you have to guard your heart, because nobody's above temptation. Nobody's above the influences of this world. You just have to have roots that are stronger than the winds that are trying to blow you. Amen? Father, I thank you for your love and your goodness. I thank you that there is grace abounding towards every one of these precious people, that their hearts are fertile ground for your word to go into, and that they are allowing your word to have deep, deep roots, so that when folks come and persecute them, when the enemy tries to bring the lust of this life and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and all these things that want to take somebody off course, I thank you that you have already helped them establish the depths of the Word of God into their life and their heart, so that when those temptations come, that just like Jesus, there was just, no matter even if the enemy came with the Word of God itself, all they do is stand there with the promises of God and said, "Depart from me. Depart from me." Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, so that he could show us that it could be done. with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we can resist all the temptations and all of the contrariness of the evil one trying to work against our lives. We love you so much. We thank you for these truths. And we pray together in unity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you brought any treasure for the treasure chest, praise God. You don't want the deceitfulness of riches to keep your treasure, so we'll do something with it. Amen.